This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly UFC show in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. My name is Alex Vella, and joining me to preview UFC 279, headlined by Khamzat Chimaev versus Nate Diaz, is the former MMA fighter and pro bettor Ryan Bruno. How are you, mate?
Hi, buddy. Good, thank you.
Good stuff, mate. Little recap of last week before we get into the preview for this week. From my side, I would say probably Dietrico didn't look too flash. I had a very small bet on to win by knockout. I think I did mention that probably ends with one of these guys getting knocked out. Unfortunately, the wrong one. But I still think it was probably worth just a small bet. Imavov was, I was very surprised that Buckley was that durable and his cardio held up very, very well in comparison to some of his previous fights. So I was very surprised about that. I mean, Imavov looked great for the first two rounds. I mean, I think most people, he probably finishes in that first, two rounds.
He got full mount, didn't he? It looked like, if he'd had maybe an extra 30 seconds, 45 seconds, yeah. I think he would have got the finish, but he survived.
Buckley really impressed me, his durability. Yeah, I was very surprised by that. But yeah, how about you, mate? Some of your bets? Unfortunately, we both didn't do too well. But yeah, any thoughts back on your bets?
Yeah, so it wasn't the best for me. I went 0-2 with my bets. Taha just, he really struggled. I thought, him having the UFC experience would be a factor, but he couldn't close the distance. I think he threw one leg kick and missed, and then, he stopped throwing leg kicks, and I thought that would be a big part of his game. And he just looked out of his depth, really. So he'll probably be out of the UFC on that one. And then the Jordan Wood fight kind of went how I thought it would, but Wood, what I was surprised by was Wood's durability and the fact that he could eat Jordan shots better than Jordan could actually eat Wood shots. So it was Wood that stung Jordan. When you looked at Wood at 135, he did get rocked and hurt by guys a lot smaller. So, it's just one of them in betting. You've got to play the long game, and sometimes you can get these weeks where things are a bit rough. But you've just got to, keep analysing and keep making value bets, and you'll get there in the end.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And we got pretty close in the main event. I mean, I had Ty KO, which nearly eventuated, which would have sent me through the fucking roof. And then and then yourself, you had Garn round four. So you're getting pretty close there, mate.
Yeah, I had my fingers crossed. I was like, come on, Ty, just survive, because there's no way that you're getting through another two rounds. But he survived that flush head kick, didn't he? So you've got to give him credit.
Yeah, it was a hell of a fight, mate. But all right, we'll move on to this week. Your first bet is going to come in just a classy heavyweight fight here between Jake Collier and Chris Barnett.
Yeah, so this is more of a fade on Chris Barnett, to be honest. I just don't think he's UFC caliber. He came onto the UFC and fought on short notice against Ben Rothwell. He looked out of his depth then, and he got submitted and fairly outclassed. And then he fought against, I'm forgetting his name now for the second, Chris Weidman's mate.
Udoy.
No, oh. Chris Weidman's mate.
Vellante. Oh, my God.
That's it. Sorry, John Vellante. Sorry.
We both bet Vellante in that fight too, didn't we?
We did, but apparently I heard that he didn't train at all for that fight because it was his retirement fight. And he looked like it, he was super out of shape, but he was still winning that fight until he got caught with that spinning taekwondo head kick that Barnett somehow pulled off. But yeah, Barnett, he's 5'9", he's very small for a heavyweight, and he's just an oversized middleweight, really, packs on a lot of weight. He's not particularly skillful anywhere. He does have those unorthodox kicks, but he's not a great grappler. He'll be out grappled in this fight by Jake Collier. Like, no problem at all. He doesn't have a good gas tank either. He doesn't really throw good combos. He just comes in with like winging hooks. Everything's kind of big and explosive, but he doesn't have the body type, for that style. And he doesn't have the range for that style either, because he's a short guy. with a small range. So, you know, I just think he's completely outclassed in this fight. If you look at kind of the fights that Collier's had, he's had close fights with Andrei Arlovsky and Carlos Felipe, and both of those guys would run through Chris Barnett. And I think Jake Collier will. I think, you know, his output will be too much. I think he can drown him on the feet if he wants to. I think he can beat him up in the clinch. And if he's on top of him, like he showed in the Chase Sherman fight as well, you know, his grappling is really high level, and he'll either find a submission or pound him out. So I do think there was a little bit of value on the money line, even though he's minus 420.
Yeah.
I just really don't see. I think Barnett's chances are probably sub 10%. I think he's got to land something big and wild. You know, I don't think that is very likely. So yeah, I think there's some value there, but I think the better play is to play Jake Collier inside the distance, which I don't think is available at Bet Rivers at the moment, but I've seen kind of like plus 140 and plus 120 floating around at a few other bookies. So I think if you can get evens, if you can get above plus 100, I think that's a pretty good bet because yeah, I think Collier just outclasses him everywhere. And I think he probably finishes in the late second or third round, I think.
Yeah, I get the feeling that if he gets... The thing that Budai didn't do in his last fight is he didn't try to take him down. He just grinded him up against the fence. But you can see that if you get Barnett down, his ground game is just... It's non-existent. And Collier's, you know, he ruined Chase Sherman when he got him to the ground. So that would, you would think, would be his easiest path to victory. Because like you said, I feel like... If you want to bet Barnett, you're essentially hoping for Collier to stand at range and not pressure, which Collier did his whole last fight against Arlovsky, and give Barnett enough space so that he starts throwing his flashy kind of stuff, which, you know, what are the chances of him, you know, landing a spinning back kick again or a jumping kick like he tried to do a few times against Budai. Or he's got good leg kicks. But I mean, how many is he going to have to land of those until he finishes Collier? So yeah, like you said, I mean, so if you bet Collier minus 500, even that is like probably value. I mean, you're essentially giving Ben Barnett 17% chance of winning the fight, which seems a little bit high anyway. So, yeah, I completely agree. This is one of those fights where you feel like you could just almost put your whole bankroll on. But
yeah, maybe it's, as they say, a parlay piece. That's what they say, don't they? You know, in America, it's one of those that, you know, you could maybe add to another bet that you fancy, because I do think, even though it's short odds, sometimes there is value at short odds, and I do think that's the situation here.
Yeah, no, 100%, mate. And I'm not advocating for people to put the whole bankroll on anything. it just feels like one of those ones where whatever your max bet is, you probably want to be putting that on. But it feels like sometimes you should be putting more than your max bet on. But don't listen to me. Don't bet more than you want to. All right, mate. For me, I'm going to kick things off with Irene Aldana versus Macy Chiasson. Really interesting thing in this fight, I think, is that Chiasson is cutting down from 145 to 135. And in her second last fight, which was in December of last year, she actually missed weight at 145 against Raquel Pennington. So I think she weighed in at maybe 146 and a half or 148, something like that. So now she's got to get down to 135 only 9 months later. And her previous fight was also at featherweight too, which she did make the limit in that fight. So, I mean, it already rings a little bit of an alarm bell. If you did want to bet Macy Chiasson in this fight, you definitely want to be waiting to see what she looks like on the scales. But I think we see a lot of fighters do this, cutting down in weight because they think they'll have a huge size advantage. But sometimes, you know, it works against them. I think the classic case of that was Misha Tate and Lauren Murphy lately, where Tate, sure, she's a small 135er, cut down to 125. You would think she'd look a lot better. But, she was clearly at a strength disadvantage there against Lauren Murphy. So just cutting down in weight doesn't essentially mean that you're going to be strong. You're dehydrating your body a lot more. And I think when you're coming up against someone like Aldana, it could really dehydrate her chin and her gas tank. And you don't want that against someone that hits as hard as Aldana does. Oh, maybe saying she hits hard is a bit of an overstatement. I just think she's extremely accurate with her strikes. Like when she dropped Vieira a couple of years ago, a couple of times she's hit home and also Kunitskaya up. She finds the button regularly. She's very, very accurate with her strikes. So I think Chiasson best chance in this fight is to try and get her down, do a bit of fence pushing. She in that her recent fight against Dumont, she sometimes left herself in some really, really bad positions, like really tried to force the takedowns and ended up with, if Dumont was a bit sharper on the ground, she nearly ended up with Dumont on top of her. And also, if she's going to be doing a grappling heavy attack, it's going to sap her gas tank a lot more too. She's making improvements on the feet for me. I've liked what I've seen, especially in that first round against Dumont. But in that third round, once she was a bit more tired, she was catching some big shots from Dumont. And if Dumont could have disengaged a few of those clinches a bit more, she could have potentially got Chiasson out of there. So, yeah, and as we know, Aldana's a very dangerous striker. So for me, I think if this fight is going to not go the distance, I think Aldana at minus 200 for decision, no bet. So basically what we're betting on here is if the fight does go to decision, you get your money refunded or voided. And then if Aldana wins by finish, then you win your bet. If Chiasson wins by finish, you lose the bet. So I just think the chances of Chiasson getting a finish are pretty minuscule. I mean, Aldana's, you know, spent lots of time on her back before against home and got out of that one. So, I just think, the minus 200 for Aldana decision no bet is, a good bet. Any thoughts, mate?
It's strange that she's going down in weight after she won her last fight. You know, you don't normally see fighters winning and then moving down. It's normally kind of a result of trying to kind of restart the career or find something different. So that is odd. But she's getting a tough out in here. And like you say, she's quite a big girl as well. She's got a big frame on her. So I don't really understand the kind of decision making. I do think Aldana does hit pretty hard. You know, she's accurate, but some of them shots that she landed on Vieira, I mean, Caitlin Vieira is a big girl and she's been able to eat a lot of people's punches, you know. But Aldana put her down. And I think, like you say, cutting down in weight, being a big girl, you know, she is going to have to drop a lot of weight, and that, you know, could bite her in the backside in this fight.
I agree. It'll be, it's one of those fights where I could see Chiasson out grappling her for two rounds, you know, or maybe winning just about every minute of this fight. And then out of nowhere, she gets, you know, 2 seconds on the feet with Aldana and it could be all over. So I think the money line is interesting on that one. I wouldn't be betting Aldana money line I think a lot of it depends on what Chiasson looks like on the scales. So yeah, if you want to bet that fight, keep that in mind, people. Mate, we are moving on. We both have a bet for this fight, but you can go first, mate. Johnny Walker versus Ion Cutelaba.
Yeah, so this should be a barn burner of a fight. You know, Cutelaba's not really in boring fights. He's an aggressive wild man. You know, he comes forward. He's got heavy pressure. He's got big power in his hands. If he can get you on the ground, he's got really good ground and pound as well. But he's coming up against Johnny Walker, who's a bit of an enigma. You know, he started his UFC career really impressively with a string of knockouts. He's kind of been talked about as a guy that could potentially challenge John Jones, and then it's all gone wrong really recently. He's 1-4 in his last five fights, and it has been against pretty good competition, and he's got a win against Ryan Spann in there, and Ryan Spann did beat Cutelaba in his most recent fight, so there's that kind of MMA math angle. But Cutelaba is seen as the favorite here, and I can see why. I think that Cutelaba is going to look to push him up against the fence and fight in the clinch. And if he can get takedowns as well, he's going to have a pretty decent advantage on the ground, and he might find a finish there. But Johnny Walker, you know, like I say, he has had a rough run, but he's still a very dangerous guy. He's very tall. He's like 6'6", I think. You know, that's kind of the higher end of the light heavyweight. He's got a really big reach. He's got an 82-inch reach, which is, again, you know, that's going to be hard to get past. And Cutelaba doesn't have the best defense. We've seen that time and time again. He is willing to just kind of bite down and kind of eat one to give one. And I think that could really cost him in this fight because Walker's one of the most explosive light heavyweights there is. You know, he's got them jumping, flying knees. You know, he can explode and he can catch Kutalaba coming in, I think, in this fight. So, yeah, I like Johnny Walker to win inside the distance here. You can get him at plus 230, which I think is decent because I don't really see him winning a decision. And I saw his money line was plus 169, I think. So, yeah, there's not a huge difference, but I think I'd much rather be on Walker to win inside the distance than playing his money line, as I just don't see what a Walker decision looks like, really. You know, Kutalaba is gonna crash into the pocket. He's going to look for clinches and takedowns, and I think Walker can catch him. But, yeah, I don't see Walker winning the decision, but he's definitely alive to find a finish. And being 1-4 in his last few fights as well, you know, the market is going to be pretty low on him. But I think with Walker, just his style is chaotic. You know, he is going to drop fights and he's going to go on winning streaks as well. It's like you have to roll the dice with him. And I think in this fight, at the odds, then it is worth rolling the dice and taking Johnny Walker to win inside the distance.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty hard to see how he would win a decision against Kutalaba, considering, how much better Kutalaba's grappling and wrestling is. I think I said to you beforehand, the only way I could see it was if like Kutalaba decided to get in like a points fight with Walker. And even then, Walker, like that fight with Santos was, you know, essentially a points fight on the feet, and it wasn't even like, he's not even like he's great at it either. So,
no, but I think, you know, Kutalaba knows that, you know, he knows what he needs to do to win the fight. And I think even though he's a madman, his fight IQ, he has his style, and I don't think he's going to deviate from that style, and he's going to force the fight. And that might bring out the best of Walker. You know, we have seen him in some of these chaotic fights, you know, do pretty well. Like the Ryan Spann fight was a pretty chaotic fight. I remember that, just, you know, they were hurting each other. I think Walker got dropped pretty bad, and then, you know, he managed to find a finish. So, you know, I could see this being similar, you know, just both guys hurting each other. And like I say, it's a roll of the dice sometimes. And I think the odds are good enough to go with Walker.
Yeah. Any reason why you didn't go just the straight KO for Walker? Because from memory, I don't think he has any subs on his record, does he?
No, he doesn't. I just thought that, Kutalaba sometimes just stick his neck out, and if he does get rocked and he just shoots a lazy takedown, then perhaps Walker, he has shown some submission ability in previous fights, and, you know, it'll always be improving. So it's for me, it's just that, you know, you don't want to play the KO line and then, just see him wrap up a sub when there's not a big difference in it. So, yeah, it's just kind of a bit of a cautious approach, but it's, that's what I'd go for.
No, fair enough, mate. And Kutalaba, guillotined in his last fight by Ryan Spann. And following on from that is where my combined bet comes from, is Johnny Walker's ground game. If you wind back the clock a couple of years to 2020, I think it was, when he fought Nikita Krylov. Nikita Krylov, you know, good on the ground. He's probably better than most in the light heavyweight division. And he had Walker down for three rounds. And if you'd asked me that, or told me that, you know, Krylov would have had him down for three rounds and Johnny Walker on his back, and I think it was like 11 minutes of control time or something, you would have said, all right, well, Krylov's probably going to find the finish at some point. But Walker was able to, you know, he's pretty active off his back in that fight. He was trying plenty of submissions. Like you said, he does have some kind of submission game. Walker might not be great, but, you know, enough to at least keep Kutalaba from potentially finishing this fight if he does get a lot of top time. And that's, where my bet comes from. It's over 1.5 rounds in this one at plus 117. It is kind of like the antidote to your bet. I think if you are looking to side with Kutalaba, then I think this might be a better bet than actually just betting Kutalaba on the money line, because if Kutalaba is able to out-grapple Walker and kind of, you know, stall the fight a little bit, get it away from the stand-up, which is where Walker wants it and where Eon probably doesn't want the fight, I think Walker is good enough to on most occasions to get it to go over 1.5 rounds. So, if you want to side with Walker, then I'd definitely be going with your bet at inside the distance, because it's hard to see Walker winning any other way. But yeah, if you're looking to bet Cootie Labra, I think over 1.5 rounds would be my bet at plus 117. Sure, Cootie Labra could find the finish on the ground, but I saw enough from Walker, and that was 2 years ago. Walker, like at this stage of his or that stage of his career, is still a pretty young fighter. Even now, he's not that experienced. So I'm sure he's made some kind of improvements in his ground game in that time. So yeah, over 1.5 for me, Walker versus Cootie Labra. Anything at plus money for me is good. So yeah, +117 there, I think, in most occasions this fight. Yeah, it goes over 1.5 rounds. All right, mate. Should we move along to the main event, the one that everyone's been waiting for? Not the decimation of Nate Diaz, most likely, and yeah, one of the rudest fights created in of all time. You've got Khamzat Chimaev -1250, Nate Diaz +750. You know, normally these fights, you look at the odds and think, oh, okay, that's a little bit ridiculous. Like, you know, it's an MMA fight. Anything can happen. But it's for me, it's incredibly hard to make a case for Nate Diaz. And -1250 for Khamzat is, I think it's pretty justified.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if you look at, you know, fights where Nate Diaz has struggled in the past, even if you go back, it's probably going back maybe 10 years or maybe less, I don't know. But when he fought Rory McDonald at welterweight, and Rory McDonald just absolutely ragdolled him. And I don't see too much difference here. And, you know, Khamzat Chimaev is probably several levels above Rory McDonald. And although obviously Nate Diaz will have improved over that period of time, it's, yeah, you know, it's his biggest weakness, and he's going to get taken down and, you know, beaten up pretty badly, I think. I think it's kind of a waste of you know, they had Nate Diaz. He's got one fight left on his contract. It seems like a bit of a waste to me. They could have stuck him in there with, like, I don't know, Robbie Lawler. After Robbie Lawler's just beat Nick Diaz, that would have been a much better fight with a much better story. But I think they kind of want to kind of punish him, I suppose, for leaving the UFC and lower his value. I can't see any other reason why, given that he's lost to Leon Roberts. And, you know, Chimaev is coming off that war with Gilbert Burns. It's like they're going in completely different directions.
Yeah. I think it's just the classic, like, Nate Diaz is the top three name in the UFC, probably the top three biggest stars in the UFC. Chimaev is very, very close to that at the moment. And yeah, it's just the ultimate name value fight, isn't it? I mean, real fans know that this is doesn't give Khamzat extra respect if he goes and beats Nate Diaz. But I guess maybe more, outside, you know, people that don't follow the sport too closely see that he's got a win over Nate Diaz, and they think, oh, geez, that's a big name. It's like saying you got a win over Conor McGregor, essentially. Even if, like, you know, you out-wrestled him for 5 rounds or something, it's probably not that impressive. But, yeah. Yeah, I think it's most interesting will be, you know, kind of how the fight plays out. How do you see it? Do you think Chimaev will go full wrestling, or do you think that there's a chance that he will stand and trade with Diaz? Because I kind of think his best chance of maybe finishing the fight is probably if he stands and trades with Nate, because he's got big hands. Whereas he gets down to the ground, sure, he'll be able to ragdoll Nate, but, you know, Nate's got good jiu-jitsu, might be able to, I mean, he does take a lot of ground and pound at times because he's so active off his back trying things. But at the same time, I mean, it might even be a little bit riskier for Khamzat to take Nate down, because he could somehow get caught in some submission. I mean, I don't see it happening, but yeah, how do you think Chimaev will approach the fight?
It's a tough one, really, because, like, historically, when he first came into the UFC, he was just wrestling, wasn't he? And then obviously he knocked out Mia Sharp, and then he fought Gilbert pretty much on the feet and mixed in a few takedowns. But I think Gilbert Burns' kind of level of jiu-jitsu is higher than Nate Diaz, and he's a lot more dangerous. So I could see him maybe striking for a little bit, but I do think he'll take it to the ground and just be positionally dominant. You know, I can just see him landing shots and just, you know, Diaz is tough, but I think he'll be a bloody mess by the end of the first round. And I think if the doctors or the referees don't stop it by the first round, then, it, you know, he's just going to continue to get beaten up until the referee does eventually jump in. But yeah, I expect a lot of blood. I think, you know, I mean, Nate Diaz opens up at the best of times, and I think he's going to take a lot of damage in this fight. So yeah, it's a tough one to say how Chimaev will approach it. But hopefully it kind of stands for the first round. That'll be entertaining. I think, you know, it's the main event. People are paid. It's a pay-per-view, so people will be paying money for it. So that would kind of be something he might choose to do just to, for entertainment value. But yeah, if he wants to play the safe bet, I think he can easily land takedowns and just positionally stay on top and you know, finish DLs that way. So yeah, it's completely up to Chimaev, isn't it? However he wants to do it.
Yeah. All right, mate. Any bets for this fight for myself? I saw over 1.5 rounds looked okay at -143, just because Diaz is so tough. You could see him lasting at least 2 rounds. I think that's decent. But I did just see you can bet decision only. So it's kind of the opposite of what I said before. So I haven't. Void if not going the distance. Oh, right. No, I have read that right. So, yeah, you can bet decision only for Chimaev at -375. So, I mean, if this does go to decision, I do kind of think it would be an absolute miracle if Nate Diaz won a decision against Khamzat Chimaev. So, yeah, you can get...
What was Chimaev. It? -375, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, those odds are great, really, because, yeah, like, how does Diaz win a decision?
Well, it's weird. They've got finish only. So, yeah, finish only at -2,500 for Chimaev.
Right.
Well, I feel like it should be the other way around. But anyway, yeah, I think I've just seen that. So, if for me, that would be my bet. If I could give, -375, not too nice. But if it does go to decision, the chances of Nate winning are just, no chance.
Yeah, because the fight going to a decision really would be just comes up. You know, dominate with the grappling and Diaz surviving for 5 rounds. So, basically, you know, that's Khamzat should be like -1,000 in that spot. So, yeah, if you can get that, although, you know, it's likely you're just going to get a void bet. You know, the upside is a lot bigger than the downside. So, yeah, that's a really good bet.
Yeah, I agree. All right, mate. Well, do you want to lock that in for a team bet there?
Yeah. I'll be happy with that.
All right, we'll lock that in, and that will do us for the podcast today. Quickly wrap up, best bet of the weekend out of your 2 bets you gave before.
Well, if you can get that Collier to win inside the distance at above even money, so anything better than +100, I think that's the best bet of the weekend for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll go over 1.5, probably the best bet is the one we just mentioned, -375 for Khamzat, decision only. So, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to get a void, but yeah, that's probably the bet there with the most value. All right, viewers, if it's your first time on the YouTube channel, please make sure you subscribe so you get alerted to all the great content here on the Bet Rivers Network. If you are on Twitter, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at SM Sports Trader and myself at AlexVella_. And we will be back next week to preview the UFC back at the Apex, headlined by Corey Sandhagen versus Son Yudong. Good to see you again, mate, and we'll catch you next week.
You, mate. Yeah. Cool. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the Bet Rivers Network.